Morning. Wonderful to see everybody gathered together to begin our new year, 2015. I hope everyone has had a good time celebrating that and enjoying the beginning of 2015 and all that it has to offer. We're excited that you're here gathered together to worship this morning. And if you're a guest with us, we're extra excited that you're here. We have guest cards that we would love to have you fill out. And that's just a way for us to gather a little bit of information. So if you've never filled one out, please do so. And then when you do, put it in the offering plate. We would be able to give you a little further information about how God is at work in our church in such a wonderful way. As always, we do have just a couple of announcements before we begin our worship service, just to make sure we're aware of things. First of all, I know a lot of us have gotten Christmas cards. So you've received a lot of Christmas cards. If you have Christmas cards you would like to donate the front cover of, Dorcas will be collecting those in the small kitchen over here. There are some stipulations. I know Hallmark and a few others cannot be used, so there'll be a little sign in there that'll tell you which ones can and cannot. But if you can part ways with the front cover of those, they're used by the Dorcas Ministry, and they'll collect those starting now. Also, hard to believe, but next Saturday is quickly approaching. I'm very excited about this opportunity, our sled day. It'll be our third annual sled day. Love to see all the children come out for a great time of sledding. That's wonderful. And this year, it's going to be extra exciting because we have a chili cook-off. And if you don't know about that, I hope you're ready to sign up today, because everybody needs to have their name on the sign-up in here, which has a good list already. But if you've told me and you haven't put your name up, please do so we can prepare. We've got a trophy ready to go. We just need the name to have engraved on the bottom there for our first ever chili cook-off. And whether you're entering a chili or not, please come and eat. Enjoy this time of fellowship. It could be a great morning, a great lunch for the whole church to come together next Saturday. So pray for good weather as well. And as we start a new year, Gary would like us to make sure we're aware of this next quarter. The discussions on Sunday morning are going to focus on decisions. Decisions. So for the next quarter, we're going to focus on all the decisions that we make, and we're going to be using, obviously, biblical passages from people who have made sometimes poor decisions, sometimes good decisions, to see how God is calling us to reflect on the decisions we're making. So I'm excited about the next quarter as we continue our focus on that. And speaking of Gary, today is a special day. Today marks a certain day in the history of his ministry at Flat Springs Baptist Church. But before I go any further, I'd like to call on David Acock just to speak about that for a moment.
On behalf of the diaconate and the congregation, I would like to take a couple moments to recognize and honor Dr. Gary McCullough on his 10-year anniversary of service with Flat Springs Baptist Church. The flowers are placed in the sanctuary today by the congregation in honor of Dr. McCullough's continued commitment and service to our Lord and church. We would like to thank you and your family for your ministry. As well as the flowers, the congregation would like to present you with cards as a small token of our appreciation of your service with us. I'm going to place the basket on the back table. For those of you who were not able to get your cards in through Sunday school, that you can put them in the basket on your way out to speak to Gary. At this time, I'd like to recognize Bobby Hurley, who was the chairman of the search committee when we called Dr. McCullough to our church.
We all know that when we're having fun, our things are going good, time flies by, and things are going good here. I would like to say that just a little over 10 years ago, this congregation elected Betsy Phillips, Carol Smith, Mel Schaefer, Charles Mitchell, and myself to serve as a search committee for this church. With those resumes in hand and prayers in our hearts, we set out to the task. Shortly, God answered our prayers in sending us Dr. Gary McCullough and his family to our church to lead us and be a part of us. And we are so proud of that.
What What a special day to reflect, I'm sure, on how God has been at work in the past 10 years and everything that's going to continue. As we took advantage of a little time away last week, and as Jimmy put it last week, when you put a zero on the end, that's a special time of reflection when you have that type of anniversary. So just amazing to see how God's at work, and definitely worthy of that type of recognition when you have such an anniversary. So if we don't have any other announcements at this time, as we celebrate and as we now move to a time of worship, I'd like us to bow our heads in a word of prayer. God, we come before you at this time to worship you. We gather together to give you honor, to praise your name, to celebrate your existence in our lives as you have called us together for this specific time in this specific place. And Lord, as we begin our time of worship, we recognize how you have called our pastor, Dr. Gary McCullough, as we celebrate 10 years of service in Flat Springs Baptist Church, and how our prayers continue for the work you will do through him and all of us in the years ahead. Lord, we pray that you show us this morning how to be mindful of the way you transform our lives, our thinking, our understanding, our actions through your Son, Jesus Christ. May he be ever present in our life this week until we gather again. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now let's spend several moments preparing our hearts for worship. Let us all join in worship and singing hymn number 365, In Remembrance of Me. Let us stand as we sing, please.
Thank you. Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. We ask that you take these tithes and offering and bless them and use them in a way that you see fit. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I love to see all you come down here this morning.
Looks so good. Everybody sitting here so I can see you all. And this time, to start things off this morning, I want you to listen carefully. I don't have a question quite yet, but I want to make sure you can hear everything, okay? It's short. I want you to tell me what this is after it's done playing, okay? Let's see if I can get this to work right. Somebody tell me what that is?
It's music.
It is music. Absolutely. Absolutely. What kind of musical instrument is playing? It's a trumpet. Absolutely. And does anybody know? This was the harder one. Does anybody know what that's called exactly? Maybe not. That's actually called a fanfare, a trumpet fanfare. And that's played when somebody very important, like a king or a queen, is introduced. And so they'll play a trumpet fanfare to introduce somebody, or somebody very special, or a time of celebration. And did you know they actually used a fanfare in Bible times? And that would introduce somebody very important, so everybody would know to look for whoever is about to enter into this special time in this special place. Well, the past couple weeks we've been talking about Christmas and celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ and how amazing that is and how much we need to make sure we tell everybody about that. But as we've been talking about, we know that there really wasn't any kind of special announcement for Jesus' birth. When Jesus was born with Mary and Joseph, it was just them and some animals, right, around the stable. There were no trumpets playing and no fanfare to announce that Jesus was born, even though that was a very special time, and we know Jesus is the King. So, I want us, after Christmas, to remember just how important it is for us to continue to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that and remember to do that by looking in Mark. Mark chapter 16, one verse tells us something very important as we continue to talk about how to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Listen to Mark 16, one verse, verse 15. It says, "He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation.'" That means we're supposed to tell everybody about Jesus Christ at all times. Even though Christmas is over, it's now January, we've opened presents, we've ate special food, and all that's done, and for some of us, school starts back tomorrow, right? We need to remember how important it is to continue to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ and do what the Bible tells us to do, and go and tell everybody about that. Now, you may not have a trumpet with you to make sure that you can announce that when you start talking to people or your family or friends about Jesus, but you can still find special times to tell your family and friends about Jesus any day. Okay? So let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for teaching us how important it is to always celebrate Jesus Christ. Tell us how to do that this week, God. Amen. All right. I'll see y'all next week.
As our children are returning to their seats, let me invite you to open your bulletin to our prayer concerns. And let me say what a privilege it is and has been to serve as pastor of Flat Springs Baptist Church, that God sent you to me and my family at a time when we needed a loving congregation to come in and walk together as a pastor and as a church to seek to do His will. And you have been that church for us, and we are honored that you continue to allow us the opportunity to serve with you as we are God's people together. I am extremely humbled by God's call and our travel together. Let me invite you to look at our prayer concerns. You know that, or you may have seen the name, and our hearts were broken this week when we saw the accident that took place on 40 at the rest area outside of Benson. Roy Joe Godwin was a member of the first church I pastored, Pleasant Hill Christian Church, and he was a tremendously wonderful human being and a loving father, a faithful member of our congregation. Tragic. And I know you'll remember his wife Susan, his children Rita, Anita, and Joey, special folks. And we would covet your prayers for them as this tragedy, I'm sure, has continued to impact them. So you'll see all those names that are listed there. We have had many that aren't on here that are dealing with the flu, and we know that is around us, and we want to be praying that God would bless us and strengthen us as we deal with this time of the year in that negative sense. And then as we begin a new year, about the decisions that we will make as God's people, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we're grateful on this day when we shall come to the table, and in remembering, hold in our hands a piece of bread that will remind us of you giving your body, and a cup that will remind us of the blood you shed that we might have life and have it everlasting. And God, as we lift the names of these that are on this list, these that are struggling with loss, these that are dealing with illness, these that are recuperating from surgery, and all of us as we face the challenge of a new year, may we indeed find ourselves
deciding today and every day to spend time with you, to allow you to be the major influence in our life, to allow your word to be the direction for our decision making and for our living. And so, God, as we continue to worship you this day in spirit and truth, I lift this, your congregation, to you, O God, and ask that in the cool of the evening you might walk with us and we might share conversation that shall shape our choices in 2015. In Christ's name we pray. Indeed, this is what this Sunday is all about, that we have been forgiven. Thank you, choir. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Genesis. We all know the story of Adam and Eve, and you have probably heard the old story about God and Adam walking one day and having a conversation, and God said, "Adam, do you need a helper?" And he said, "Yes, that would be great, Lord. That would be fantastic." God thought for a little bit, and he said, "Well, I tell you, I could make a woman. She'll be perfect for you. She'll be beautiful. She'll rub your back every night. She'll rub your feet every morning. She'll always keep your home spotless and clean. She'll raise the children. Every day when you get home, you'll just have to sit back and she'll bring you drink and food and grapes. You'll just be king of your house. How does that sound? Wonderful. He said, well, it's going to be expensive, Adam. Well, how much, Lord? That's going to cost you an arm and a leg, Adam. To which Adam replied, well, what could I get for a rib, Lord? Now, if you didn't get that, you need to go back and read Genesis. I think I insulted the men more than I did the ladies then. Adam and Eve. We know the story. We know that God had built this beautiful garden, he tells us in chapter 2. There are two trees that are of significance. One is the tree of life, and it is a tree of eternity. In fact, when you look over in Revelation 22, those that will live forever will eat from the tree of life that is referred to here in Genesis chapter 2. And it's interesting that man was not told he couldn't eat from that tree, the tree of eternal life. But there was one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And man was warned, if you eat of that tree, you'll die. God said, don't eat of that tree, you'll die. Here you are in this perfect garden with everything you could ever imagine. Heaven on earth. But don't eat of that tree. That's the one tree. That's the one thing you could do that would be wrong. That's the one decision that would disappoint me. That's the one decision that would miss the mark of our walking together in the evenings. That's the one decision that you cannot make. Don't eat of that tree. Sounds like a pretty good deal, doesn't it? Sounds like a marvelous deal to me. To have this beautiful resort called Eden at my disposal. I'm sure the temperature was perfect all the time. And one decision I couldn't make. One choice I had to make the way God told me to. We find our text, Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read the first 13 verses. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word? Now the serpent was more crafty than the other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he, the serpent, said to woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that one tree, God said, leave alone. And that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she gave also some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then their eyes, the eyes of both, were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves leaf cloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden." And for the first time in Adam's life, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said to him, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, for a very few moments this morning before we come to the table, would you allow us to look at the decisions that we make? That decision from the garden that still influences us today. And may we leave this place determined to find ourselves the bearers of good news of the tree of life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, the decisions that were made so long ago, if we had time, we could spend a great deal of time talking about original sin, the entry of sin into this world. We know it came in this moment. We might say what I would have done, but being a Monday morning quarterback won't help us now. For the reality is we're all stained with sin, and that's why this table is so significant. That's why I love starting every new year coming to this table and sharing from the very source of our life. Paul reminds us in Romans that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is sin that the church rails against. It is sin that is our mission field. It is sin that is destroying our families. It is sin that is destroying so much of our culture. And so today, we need to look at the decisions of sin and prepare ourselves that we might be stronger in 2015 to resist than maybe even we were in 2014. So there are three truths I think we can learn very quickly this morning from the story of Adam and Eve. The first one is, who are we listening to? Who has our ear? Who is influencing us? Good advice is a great tool in decision making. Adam and Eve, it is though in the cool of the afternoon, this wasn't the first time God visited the garden. He walked daily there. Can you imagine talking in some conversational way with God every day? You and I can. You know that, right? We can today. You and I can still have conversation with God. What prayer's about. That's what prayer's about. Prayer is not really talking so others will hear us, and it's certainly not talking just to ourselves, but real prayer is talking to God and listening to God. And the more I study God's Word, the louder God speaks in my prayers. Let me say that again. The more I study God's Word, the louder God speaks in my prayers. Good advice. I wonder how many times God spoke to Gary McCullough this past week, but Gary was too busy to listen. I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older or my mind has already reached that maximum capacity, but sometimes my wife will tell me something to get. It happened this week. I asked her, I said, "You want me to get butter?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Salted or unsalted?" Did y'all know? I didn't know till a few years ago there was salted and unsalted butter, but there is. And she told me, we were in conversation, nose to nose. I said, "What kind of butter she get?" And she said something. And you know, I got to the grocery store, and I was looking, and I looked at that list, and there it was, butter. And she didn't put salted or unsalted. And I remember the conversation, but I, for the life of me, couldn't remember what she said. So I bought one of both. You know, just cover your bases. Just be safe. That's what I do. God speaks all the time, but sometimes, even when I'm talking, I'm not listening. Are you that way? Or is it just me? Listening to God. Oh, God would like for us to live 2015 in such a powerful way. And it all depends on the decisions. And the first one is, who has our ear? Could we commit today, before we come to the Lord's table, to give God our ear, to listen to God more than ever before? Because poor advice leads to folly. The serpent's still crawling around, isn't he? Satan is still wandering like a lion, looking to devour whomsoever he may. On May the 11th, 2000, a lady found a new email on her computer, which simply said, "I love you." Do you remember May 11th, 2000? A little email. If you were technique savvy at that time, you began to hear about that, and you were told, if somebody sends you an email and you don't know who it is, and all it says is, "I love you," don't open it. Don't open that email. It was called the love bug virus. And with lightning speed, once she opened that innocent seeming, just like picking a piece of fruit off of a tree, just open one little email that said, "I love you," wouldn't that capture your attention? It would me. Suddenly, around the world, politics and businesses halted. The virus spread like wildfire because as hers was connected to someone else's and that one was connected to someone else's, suddenly the infection of the virus was everywhere. I still pick at that fruit. I don't know about you. 2014, I think I had a bushel basket full of that forbidden fruit. How about you? And you see, those decisions we make, they are so important. You see, Earth more than 6,000 years ago was infected by that first sin. Despite God's warning not to click on that "I love you" from the world message. Too often I still click there. Satan didn't lie when he told them their eyes would be open. It was. In fact, you know, he tells them, if you eat of that tree, your eyes will be open to the knowledge of good and evil. And our text says in verse 7, then the eyes of both were opened. I think they were wide open like a train coming at them. They realized they had done wrong. First step to doing right is realizing when we do wrong. The first step to changing wrong is when we recognize we've done wrong. Sin goes from a word to an idea, from an idea to a desire, and from a desire to an action. Let me say that again for you. Sin goes from a word. Who are you listening to? Who's got your ear? Somebody says, "Hey, let's go do this." "Oh, it won't hurt. I know they said not to, but let's go do it. It'll be all right." It goes from a word to an idea. We start to think about it. Eve started to think about it. She said, "Yeah, it looks good. That's pretty fruit. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's the prettiest fruit in the whole garden." Desirable to her eye. From a word to an idea to a desire. I want to do it. I want to have it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make that decision. into an action. She took the fruit and ate it, and as soon as she did, she gave it to Adam. She didn't want to be by herself out there. Her eyes were open first. Sin always wants company, doesn't it? Not only is who we listen to important, but what we're listening for, that's very important. They wanted to eat the fruit. They just need somebody to tell them. You ever been that way? You ever been to where you really wanted to do something, but you just needed a little bit of help? That's all the serpent is. The serpent, you know, Flip Wilson was wrong. Now, I'm going to date a lot of us. Some of you don't even know who Flip Wilson is, but you remember what Flip Wilson was famous for saying? The devil made me do it. The devil doesn't make you do anything. The devil tempts you to do it. You and I, we make that decision. What are we listening for? Are we giving our sinful nature the opportunity to be close to our decision-making place? You know where that place is in you? That place where you decide, maybe you're struggling, I shouldn't do this. You ever had that word come out of your mouth? I shouldn't do this, but, or I shouldn't say this, but. You're right, that's your decision-making spot. That's it. That's it right there. That place needs to be covered with prayer. And it needs to be infiltrated with Bible study. Because if it isn't, then the wrong voice will come. And it'll come today, it'll come tomorrow, it'll come next day, it'll come every day. And we'll make those wrong choices. I was listening to the radio this past week, especially for our young people over here, and our not so young folks too. And it said that the biggest influence in our life is not only the people that are our friends, like you guys are sitting with your friends, right? But it's not only your friends that influence you, but it's your friends' friends and their friends. And it was saying things like overeating may be who you run with. That whether you vote or not may depend on who you run with, but not so much who you run with. And I know you're going to get lost in this. But who you're running with, who they run with. Did you get down that next one? And the let me say it another way, and I think he's right, and he's on to this trying to research it. It's that old idea of dropping the pebble in the middle of the pond and the ripples go all the way. Well, in this case, they come the other way. They come from the edge back to where you and I are. Interesting if he's right. I wonder. Finally this morning, I wonder how those decisions of who we listen to and what we're listening for affect us today. What about this ancient story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? Does it still have an impact? Yes, it does. Decisions are long-lasting. If there's anything we can say about Adam and Eve, is that that decision in the garden is still prevalent in Deep River in 2015 in your life and my life and our choices. In closing this morning, let me share a story that I've kind of modified through the years over a young man and his father. This young man was about 14 and he'd become extremely rebellious. He got to where when his daddy said turn right, he turned left. If his daddy said up, he would go down. Whatever his daddy said, he just decided he was going to go against it. And his daddy had done everything he could to try to change his son's behavior, and he was having no luck. And so one day, through prayer, the dad just simply said, son, I don't understand why you're doing what you're doing, but here's what I'm going to do. Every time I ask you to do something and you say no, every time you're rude to me, every time you're disobedient to me, every time you mess up, I'm going out to the old barn and I'm going to take a nail and I'm going to nail it halfway in the barn. Well, at first it looked like just a joke to the little boy. He would go out and he'd do his thing, and maybe this day he got seven nails. Seven nails nailed into the barn door. He'd say, oh boy, I had a good one today. I had a seven nailer today. But over time, as those nails began to accumulate, sometimes seven, sometimes five, sometimes three, always one or two, they lost their humor. They weren't funny anymore. And they'd continue to accumulate to now they were numbering in the hundreds. This has been going on for over a year. And the barn door, every time he'd go out to the barn, There was that testimony of his disobedience. There was a testimony of his bad choices, his bad decisions, one by one. There they were. It got to where the sound of that hammer would pound in his head. Slowly, he began to change. The testimony of his wrong choices began to bother him. At first, they made him angry. Then they made him sad. Finally, they made him change. In just a moment, we're going to come to this table. We're going to hold in our hands the one who allowed the nails of my sin and your sin be placed in his hands. Finally, they reached a point where there were no more nails. It had been weeks since he had heard the hammer, because he had changed. He followed his daddy's direction. He respected his daddy. He loved his daddy. When his daddy told him up, he went up. When his daddy told him to go right, he went right. One morning he woke up. His dad had been gone all night long. And dad said, "Come. I want you to come with me to the barn." And when they got to the barn door, all the nails were gone. There were no nails left. Not a one. And the son said, "Dad, what happened?" He said, "Son, several months ago, I noticed a change in your life. And I got out a piece of paper. And every time I'd ask you to do something, you'd do it. I marked it down. Every time you said, 'Yes, sir,' or 'No, sir,' every time I saw you be polite to someone else, every time I saw you respect whoever it might be, I marked it down. I marked it down. I marked it down. I marked it down." And I'd gone out and I knew how many nails were in the barn door. And yesterday, the change in your life outnumbered the nails. And last night, I spent the night pulling nails out of the barn door. Smile came on the son's face. And there they stood, looking at the door. But then suddenly, the joy had a touch of sorrow. Because the son said, "Dad, look at the holes. Look at the holes." And the dad said, "Son, bad decisions leave scars. Bad decisions leave scars. Bad decisions leave scars. But son, there are no more nails. There are no more nails." That's where that story ended. Now we're looking at 2015 and about to come to the Lord's table. I'm going to add a new chapter to the story. The chapter this table tells us. A few weeks later, the son came home, and the barn door had been replaced. And there was a new door with no nails and no scars. You see, when we come to this table, not only does God remove our sin of bad choices, of bad decisions, but through his grace, and blessed be his name, he even removes the scars. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your love. We are grateful that when we make bad decisions, they influence others. But when we make decisions that honor you, they have life-changing power. Give us your grace as we come to your table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to do something a little bit different. This is not going to be our hymn of decision, but it's a hymn of reflection. It's page 366. And as we sing it, I'm going to ask each of us just to reflect upon who we are, about our decisions, both in the past and in the future. as in just a very few moments, all of those of us who are baptized believers will hold in our hand the bread and the cup, reminding us of God's love. And as we reflect upon our choices, our decisions for 2015, may God help us to make those that honor Him. Page 366 as we stand together and sing.
We've now come to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. This is given to us to celebrate in memory Jesus' broken body and His shed blood. It's said on the night before, before he was betrayed, at the conclusion of the feast of the Passover, which He was celebrating with His disciples, He took bread, and listen to what Matthew 26:26 says. While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is My body." Let's pray. God, as we come to the table at this time, maybe one of the holiest moments in the church, maybe one of the holiest moments in our Christian life, God, give us a time of reflection to understand the gravity of Your Son's sacrifice. And the way we celebrate that now, by the new life He has given us. In His name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
take and eat.
And it said on that same night, our Lord took the cup, and after he'd given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my blood. I shed it for you." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in just a moment, we'll hold a cup in our hands, and we shall again make decisions about how we'll make decisions. May the power of this moment and may this small, tiny cup, the fruit of the vine, remind us of the tree of life and the everlasting life that you give to us. That one day we shall pluck from that tree of eternity in the restored Garden of Eden. And so shall we ever be with you. May every choice we make in 2015 lead us to that place that we might honor you and love you in all that we are and all that we have. In Christ's name we pray. Thank you. And according to the law, I may almost say that all things are cleansed with the shedding of blood. And apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, our Christ, cleanseth us from all our sin. As they're covering the table, I invite you to take your hymn book and open to page 375, A Parting Hymn. We've talked about decisions. We're going to be talking about decisions for our first quarter. And the question is, what has the Holy Spirit led us today to decide? If you need to make some public decision for Jesus Christ today, we want to invite and encourage you to do that. But may each of us, as we are worshiping on the first Sunday of this new year, decide that we shall follow Christ in our prayer, in our Bible study, and in our actions as we stand together. In just a moment, we're going to sing a parting hymn, but again, I want to thank you for the privilege of being your pastor for a decade. It is amazing to me. Thank you for the cards and your remembrances, and I'm excited about what God is up to. After our Lord had shared this table, they sang a parting hymn, where He headed for the garden and the passion. He gave Himself up for you and for me. Would you join hands with the person next to you? I'd ask the diaconate to turn and face the congregation. And come this way, guys, if you can. I'm going to break one bond down there and make another. Very good. And may we close this, the first Sunday of worship, by singing, Blessed Be the Tide. God bless you.